Okay, so on the sheet you have in front of you, this is taken from the Sefer Mayana de Malka, from the Kosovo Rebbe, Shlita, that lives in Borough Park, and it relates to, this Sefer in particular, Mayana de Malka, is just, it's like a certain Yesodos in Hasidic thought, and it connects. It's not exactly what we're learning now, but I thought it connects very much. If you just remember last week, we were talking about the importance of speaking out, right, and enunciating, and because you're calling out, because the Torah is the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's how a person is mamash brings the chiyas onto themselves. So here, this is a sefer. He's talking here. It's probably this perek Yud Beis in the sefer. The previous perek in his sefer was talking about the requirement of why we make 100 brachos a day, and one of the themes that he develops in the sefer is that a bracha obviously starts off. Baruch Atah. I'm talking. I'm calling out to Hashem. When I'm making a bracha, I'm inviting Hashem, so to speak, to into my life, into my reality, to join me, to be here. And that connects a little bit with what we were talking about, the Kriya from Torah Nun Vav. So I want to read the whole thing. If you look, just we'll start with this, then we'll get into the Torah. You see what it says on the first page, the second paragraph. Ma Nora, Inyan HaBrachas L'Menyan. Okay. How amazing are brachas, people who are ma'ayin, who look and study and think about and meditate and understand what the concept is of making a bracha. Pekne mashiyesh levar, madua v'keitzat ein v'bracha techila mishum pechisus kovel l'gavoa. At first glance, why isn't that considered to be disrespectful to Hashem, to making a bracha? You might not think about this. Sha'anam zamnis ha'koshem yizborach lavo liroiz keita gufeinu misyashiv la'ane yesatzmo b'mayne ha'olam. We were just talking about you have to make a bracha. So I'm going to. So like, Hashem, I want to invite you. I'm calling out to you and I want you to come see about this piece of cheesecake I'm going to eat. Okay. Right? So if you think about it for a second, would you, he's going to bring, would you ever do that in front of a very chosh of a person? Like, come here, I want to show you about these jelly beans I'm about to have.
You're buying him to like a very level like gufeinu, like,
my goof, right? I'm doing something very physical right now, right? Ha'ol Hashem, rechayk mimenu yizborach, al feishos, this is like, it's so removed from Hashem. Moshlu moshlu lechosid eitzel rabo. I'll give you an example of a chosid who's going to be by his Rebbe. Okay, fill in the blank, whatever chosidus you're affiliated with. Imagine that chosid by that Rebbe. Shloyal al dasa chosid, levakish mi rabo v'lomel. The chosid would never, ever, ever turn to the Rebbe and say, Ritzoni lechol ato. I want to eat now something. Rebbe, I want to have a piece of chicken. Davar hanos l'gufi. It's going to give me a lot of hanah for my. I'm going to enjoy this chicken. I'm going to enjoy this, whatever it is, chocolate bar, whatever it is. Alti az l'hazmin es hadar ga'oino liros es te'ima satasha. I want you to come see how tasty is this thing that I'm about to eat. Ke'ein l'cha choyser mor rabcha k'mozeh. It's like the most disrespectful thing you could possibly do, to invite the Rebbe to watch you eat. V'cheinu keviyochol, but so to speak, keviyochol. B'dvareinu b'brachos eitzo malchus shel olam. But isn't that what we're doing with Hashem? I'm calling out to you, Hashem. I'm making a bracha. I'm inviting you to come watch me with my bowl of spaghetti.
So I have some difficulty even with the question, because if your Rebbe gave you a bowl of spaghetti, then you would say, Rebbe, this is the best bowl of spaghetti I've ever eaten. I'm enjoying this so much. When you're eating, you're also recognizing that the food came from Hashem. If the king graced you with something and he's giving you the nourishment, of course you're going to say thank you. Otherwise, you're disrespectful.
So you don't even like the question.
It's not that I don't like the question. There are always good questions. I just don't understand how the mushal connected the two. It's not like in the mushal, the Rebbe's the one giving the person the food. Whereas a bracha, you're thanking Hashem for the bounty that he's given you.
Thanking? Here he's pointing out, I'm inviting Hashem. I'm bringing Hashem into the room with me, right? To his reality becomes thing. So in your answer, you're right. If someone gives you something, of course you know, thank you, right? Hey, this is the sweater you gave me for Hanukkah. I'm wearing the sweater and I'm saying thank you. I'm showing how much I appreciate the gift you gave me. I'm appreciating Hashem. You gave me this. You gave me this food. You're making a good point. Maybe I don't want to go too far into it because I think it might take us like a little bit off with the topic. But let's just pull one nakuda from this, that the brachos, especially the mea brachos we make every day, are calling out to Hashem, right? Good. So let's now go back to in the English one. It's on page 302, Aval Be'emes. That's where we got up to. If anyone needs to have more up here, Aval Be'emes. Okay.
The only other thing I would say is that we are Hashem's body, especially if we use our body right. So in theory, we're inviting Hashem to enjoy our pleasure with us, the same way a child will say to their parent, I'm enjoying this thing, and the parent is enjoying the fact the child's enjoying it.
Very good. Very good. That's right. You're already giving the teretz, right? That's right. Very excellent. Excellent. Okay, so where do we leave off with in the actual piece? We're talking about how there was a hastor, shbetocha hastora. That one is where Hashem is hidden, and then the deeper level that is the fact that Hashem is hiding is concealed from us, right? That's what we got. So now we're going to explain how to get out of the hastora. That's where the next Rabbi Nachman would never just tell us the problem and then like, you know, walk away from us. So he's going to tell us how to recognize it, how to escape, how to pull away from that concealment. Avaba emes, right? Really, we know Malochal Haaretz Kivoido. Every place you go, Hashem is here. You're never alone. So it seems to be there's a concealment. Afilu bechol haastoros, with all of the hiddenness, right? Vafilu bahastoros shebetoch haastoros, and even the concealment, the fact that Hashem is being concealed. Bevade gam sham melubash Hashem yizborach. When they made the nigun, they changed the word melubash to nimsa Hashem yizborach. But this is the idea that Hashem is found everywhere. And there's a, you've seen the sefer, it's called Baal Shem Tov al HaTorah. So the Baal Shem Tov didn't write his own svarim. There was no svarim ever written by. We have Tzvasa Rivash, but the real svarim was from the Toldos. The first in the Dega's his grandson, so they took from all over and they put into this and put them onto Pesukim. So this is they call this here Baal Shem Tov. So in Parshas Vayelech, right, when we have the pasuk we've been learning about, right, the Anochi Hashem Asher is Panei Bayom. So he says, look at this Baal Shem Tov Hakadosh Zechus Yogin Leinu Amr Anochi in that pasuk. Motzui Talmud is always found. Afilu bebechinas Hester Aster bekama Hestoros. You can always find it's the Anochi that even within the concealed concealment, there's still the Anochi is there. That's how the pasuk reads, right? You can always find. There's no place. It's not shaykh. It doesn't make any sense to talk about a place or a situation ever being separate, disconnected from Hashem. Hashem is everywhere. And the problem is, if you take that to an extreme, then what do I have to go to base medrash for? Like, well, I can go to the bar because I'll find God there also, right? But the point is that, yeah, really, at the end of the day, you could find Hashem in the bar. And that's what you can talk about. What happens between that first Hastorah and we'll get to there. That's what I want to try to develop tonight. So here goes like this. Ki b'vadai, ein shum davar shlo yeh bo chiyus, Hashem yizborach. We know, and this is actually being confirmed by scientists in Zohar, and Kabbalah talks a lot about how every item in this world has a chias to it. Within science, so of course, the animals are alive and humans are alive and plants are alive. But when you look at like the molecular, the subatomic particles that are moving around and bouncing around in these chairs and in the table and in the bookshelf, even things that are domain are alive. There's a chias. There's a force that's animating and causing them to live, to exist, so to speak. So that's what he's saying here. Ki bevada ein shum dova shlo yebo chius Hashem yizborach. It has a part, a spark, a neshama. You don't think like this, that a table has a neshama, but the answer, it does. Ki bilade chiuso, right? If we wouldn't get this chius that's getting from Hashem, lo hai lo kiyum kla, wouldn't be able to exist. So by the fact that there's something that's in existence in this world, it means it's connected to Hashem. V'yalkein, therefore, bevade v'chol ha-devorim. It's actually, what does it say in here? Is it devarim or diburim? There's two different, there's a ksav yad. What does it say in here?
Devarim.
It says devarim?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So I think one of the ksav yad, I think it was diburim. So in all the speech, v'chol ha-maisim, maisim, the actions, v'chol ha-machshav, and all of our thoughts, melubash sham, in there is Hashem yizbarach kevyachol. So Hashem isn't everything. There's no place that's outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which is a fan. Right? You know, this is the TWA, thoughts, words, and actions. Right? Every machshava I have, even a machshava that's against, that's what a person fantasizes about doing some sort of avera, like a really big avera, like they want to put on, you know, their left shoe first or something like that. You know, like they think a big avera they're thinking about. But Hashem is there, and in the words we're speaking, Everything is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Vafilu im chas v'sham oisin dover aveira. If a person, God forbid, falls to a place and does something, shehu shloki rotzen Hashem is baruch, which is obviously clearly against what Hashem told us to do. Im kolza, despite that, bevada yesh sham chiyus Hashem is baruch. In that place of aveira, in that place of falling, Hashem is there. This is was the whole previous Torah of Ayeh, right? The concept there was that to always find Hashem and to connect Hashem in every single one of, even in the fall itself. I find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the fall. I remember when Nachum Fried was speaking, he says, I always had a Rebbeim who told me how not to fall. I never had a Rebbe. Rabbi Nachman teaches you how to actually fall. how to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that place of Nefila. Right? So Bevada Yesham Chiyus Hashem Yisborach. Hashem is giving the person the koach right there in that place. The Chiyus is coming even to do the Aveira. Who gives, and Toma Devara talks a lot about this, right? You know, that at the moment of, you're talking about someone gives you a gift, right? Your friend gives you a gift, gives you something, and you're using that gift to harm the giver. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us life. I remember I once took somebody in to meet by the Kalev Rebbe, so Haban Refuah Shlema, and the person was not religious, and they were having health issues. So the Rebbe said to this person, "You're asking Hashem for life, but you're not living your life the way Hashem wants you to." It's pretty harif, but he's what God is giving us life, God is giving us existence, but He wants something. So to say, okay, I'm going to take, but I'm not going to use those kochos to do with it. So even in that place, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us free will, obviously. We can make these choices. But think about it, who's giving me the ability to lift my hand and to do those things? Ach, shehu, the chiyus, the helam. It's hidden. Because you wouldn't imagine, the person who gave you this delicious supper standing right in the room next to you, You wouldn't have the chutzpah to throw it down the garbage or something like that. The person who gives you $1 million just standing sitting right next to you, they're going to look to see what you're doing with $1 million they just handed to you. So Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us more than $1 million. Right? If you think about it, Baruch Hashem, healthy eyesight, the ability to walk. We should all be healthy and appreciate these things, but the minute it's like something's a little lack, I have a little bit of pain in my calf or something like that, or my little pinky is like, I have a little, oh, I never thought of it. I never stopped to say thank you for all the things that were going right. And then one little thing, one little tchotchke gets broken. You focus on that one thing in your life. You had it all along. A person would give millions of dollars to be healthy. So we're millionaires. And even in that place, Behelam, Vitzimtzum Gadol, it's there. It's with us the whole time. Right now, the Torah he hachius shokol dover. What is where is it coming? Even the things that they're concealing Hashem's presence, those also get their life and their sustenance from the Torah. If you remember those we were talking about beforehand, how everything's chiyus comes from Torah. Nimsa. So what emerges from all says shebichol dvar mechol hamachshavos, and all of the I think it's also speech, whatever, all the things and all of the person's thoughts. Afilu machshav v'dibur v'maisa shel avera chas v'sham. Even in the thought or the speech is something about doing an avera, right? As the person speaking lashon hara, who gave that mouth the ability to talk? At the moment that mouth is flagrantly violating what it says in the Torah. Yesh sham gan kein hislab shusatora. The Torah is in that mouth. Ach shehu behelam v'tzimtzum gadol, but it's very much hidden. Bebechinas hastoros, because that's what it means. That if it was so obvious to us, then we wouldn't have any free will, right? You wouldn't. I don't know. Give an example. You wouldn't misbehave if the president of the United States. Forget politics. The president of the United States is like you're driving the car and then he's sitting right there, right next to you in the car. Right? So you're like, you're on your best behavior, right? Whoever puts fear into you, imagine the person, they've shown him talk like this, about imagining like for your Shema, imagine the person sitting right next to you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right here. It's a famous story. I forgot which Rebbe it was with. Maybe it was Abzusha. I forgot if I got the name wrong, but the point is, there was somebody who was like a dishonest wagon driver. You know, that's funny. And he says, he was giving this side. I think it was Abzusha. He was giving him a ride, and he says, you know what? Those apples by the side of the road, they look so good. I'm just gonna go over and like go into the guy's property and take a few. If anybody starts coming, just call out. No, run back, right? So there, the guy, the Ganav, who's the wagon driver, goes to start stealing a few apples. He goes, oh, they're watching, they're watching. He runs back in. He goes, where are they? They're watching. They're watching, right? We get paranoid because like, you're on security camera. I think they say like anywhere in Manhattan, you're on 14 different security cameras at any moment, just because of all the... We need like security cameras to remind us, what it says in Pirkei Avos, that there's an eye that sees, an ear that hears, and everything's being written down in a book. But we have these modern inventions, like really cool. Like, you know, you can. I got caught on my iPhone. Like, it must be real because I got a video of it. There's a video going all the time. Reb David Feinstein. I can tell good stories tonight. Reb David Feinstein once wanted to. They wanted to ask him. I forget, like a psak or something. His name is controversial. And he said, "Well, turn off the tape recorders." He says, "The tape recorders are always recording. we're always being recorded, right?" So that's the whole point. If a person has that, there's a historic. We delude ourselves. We convince ourselves that Hashem doesn't really see what I'm doing. I can go somewhere and get those like funny like mustaches and those Groucho Marx like glasses and play dress up and I can fool people. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees everything, and that's the Hastar. I don't see that. If I really, and it has to be that way, because if I saw clearly, I wouldn't have any free will. That's how the system is in place. But if a person was really honest with themselves and meditates on it, they'd realize that that increased a person's Yir Shamayim. Okay, so where are we up to? Ki Avar, is that where we are? I'm reading a different version. Is that the... Yeah, okay. So he's going to explain that there's two parts. This next section is going to explain that there's the first level of Hastara, and then there's after that, the second Hastara, Shebetocha Hastara. So he says like this. Ki Avar Vishona. The Gemara tells us that if a person does an Aveira and then repeats it, right? So if a person does Teshuvah between the Aveira and when they repeat it, so that's like the first time they're doing that Aveira. But a person did not do Teshuvah, so they did the Aveira, they didn't do Teshuvah, now they repeat it again, Nasilo, right, Keheter. So now the Aveira seems like I was permissible, I didn't do anything wrong. The Rabbi Saul Salanter said, and if you do it a third time, now it's mutter, now it's a mitzvah. Sharp word. But you do something wrong once, a person feels guilt. I had a friend of mine, and he grew up in a religious home, and he drifted. And I remember him telling me, the first time he went into like a non-kosher restaurant, he said he was trembling. He wanted to order. He said, like, I had a type, I wanted to eat lobster. I think like something like this. Something like that. And he went to a non-kosher restaurant, and he told me, he wasn't exaggerating. He told me like, he felt like a bolt of lightning was going to come through the front window of the restaurant, just like, kill him in the seafood plate, whatever it was. He said to me, and that was the first time. The second time it didn't bother me so much. Again, we know it's wrong, obviously, but that's the Gemara. Av v'shon nasek heter. When you repeat something a second time already, it's mutter. So that's what Rabbi Nachman is saying here. So it becomes like it's you don't think you did anything wrong. K'mosh Amar Rabbi Seinu Zichron Baruch Gemara Yuma Peivav Dahainu. This is what we're talking about in the inner mend. The Aide Haveros Shumahapich Divrei Elokim Chaim. Now these are the letters that we talked about, if you remember last week we talked about how everything is mugbal, everything's divided in Torah into letters and into words into parshios. So it took the Divrei Elokim Chaim, it took these letters, va'osit tzirufim acherim b'Torah, and it made different combinations out of them. It distorted them. That's really why I was wanting to start off tonight with this piece from my Yonah Demalka, because he's talking about when we use the osios. Again, I can't really do justice to the whole piece, but he talks about the Chaf Beis osios. There's osios gedolos, there's osios katanos, the 22 letters, and then when you have both of them together, so that's 22 and 22 is 44, and you put the aluf sha'adam, it becomes adam, 45. He talks about that, but that's our avoda. When we make brachos, and we're arranging, we're putting in the correct letters of the osios, the way they're supposed to be, that's mekayim, that holds up the whole world. As when David HaMelech saw that the world was falling apart, it was a magefa, so he instituted the 100 brachos. That's where it comes from. Okay. Ad shenaseh mi'isr heter. So now you distorted things so terribly that what was totally prohibited, right? It's something, think about the word. What does the word osur literally mean?
Stop.
Matir asurim.
Tied down.
So you were matir, you untied something that was tied down. It was restricted, right? And now became it's unleashed. That thing that was osir now became mutter. Kosha Kosi quotes here from the Navi Yeshayahu. Hoy la omrim. What do those that say l'ra tov l'tov ra? That people are so distorted in their worldviews that they say something. They say something that is bad, and they call that good. Hamas, right? It's not even a joke. It's like people. There are people. There's a group of terrorists in the world right now. They should all drop dead. But there's a group of terrorists that rape and violate and pillage and burn innocent people, and you have idiots who are saying that these are good people. This is not an exaggeration. This isn't politics. It's just right. It's just straightforward. And then you have innocent people who are trying to defend themselves against these terrorists and these rapists and these murderers, and they're being told that they're bad, right? You see clearly that there's a world where there's a type of philosophy, that again, it's nothing new, the Navi's screaming about it. But you can take something that's Ra and call that Tov, and something that's Tov and call that Ra.
Not just that, but if you go to Manhattan, you'll see advertisements everywhere that nobody should see. They're very explicit, but they're just out in the open for everyone to see.
And in terms of immodesty.
Yeah. I remember back when I used to work in Manhattan, I saw an ad on the subway for ED.
For what?
ED.
The physical malfunction.
It's something that men
go through. Men struggle, whatever. But it's a sexually explicit like thing.
But they had, it wasn't just like a...
Oh, I know. I know what you're saying.
Like having trouble. Like there were pictures with it. There were descriptions. It was like a whole...
But it's gross. It's like the whole world is like gross.
There's kids on the subway that going to school.
Sam Rebbe said, years before these times, Sam Rebbe says, a bocher on one subway ride, on one train ride, the Rebbe said, you see more than you did in 70 years in the shtetl. Mm. On one subway ride, everything's so exposed. And if you dare say anything against this over, well, you're a caveman, you're a Neanderthal, you're so primitive. Why can't you be grow up already? Get with it. It's ridiculous. There's a book. Doesn't even blush anymore, right? But this is exactly the point that. I mean, I love Lucy. I love Lucy. You know the 1950s?
Yeah.
They weren't allowed to have any bedroom scenes. You know this? The cameras, they was not allowed to have anything. And then the most popular television show, most episode. Go back a step before that. go back. I heard this from Dr. Johnny Krug. He told me this. What's that?
I Love Lucy, the most popular episode.
No. So the next one was NYPD Blue. He had three stages. I'm doing it out of order. The most popular television show I ever watched was frontal nudity on NYPD Blue. The show in like from the 80s, 90s, whatever it was, that was it. He said that was like in the like. He says, "I Love Lucy."
They allowed them on cable?
What?
They allowed them on cable?
It was a show. I don't know where it was playing, but yeah.
It was the FCC.
Whatever.
Yeah. And they had I Love Lucy in the 1950s. You couldn't show it, even nothing inappropriate. You just couldn't even show a picture of a bedroom on television. Yeah. And he says, but he was talking about there's Abbott and Costello. Who's the thin one? Who's the big guy? I think Costello. Maybe I don't remember. I just know the part. I don't remember who. It was. So he did a shtick. Well, and this is how he's talking about. He used to have a thing like he would like lift his tie like this. This was his little thing, right? Mm. So they explained. They once like it was an injury. They explained where did that come from. Where do you think like you lift your tie up and just drop it? So there was a scene. They were shooting it was a movie, I guess. Abbott and Costello, and they spritzed like seltz or something on his face, and his face was wet. And he was about to take his tie and wipe his face with it. But he thought, that's so undignified. Like, you can't do that on television. You can't, like, wipe your face with a tie. So as I lifted up to wipe my face, I caught myself midway, and I just, like, you know, that became my whole thing. I just, like, dropped and made a little flittery motion out of it. So Dr. Krug was saying, look at society. From something that's so, like, you couldn't even think about wiping your face with a tie, to I Love Lucy, to NYPD Blue, right? And you just see
that's the order. Okay.
That was the order. Yeah, I saw the story out of order. I think about Lucy, but that's right. It goes from Abbott and Costello, like the 1920s, okay. 1950s, 1980s, and like we can fathom it there, where we're at now. But that's what it means when things just become over and desensitized to it. When you see something over and over, it doesn't bother you anymore. It doesn't shock you anymore. You don't realize how wrong it is. I remember I was a kid when they had the. The 1990s was the Rodney King riots. I don't know if you remember this, maybe a little before. Avi probably remembers. The Rodney King riots in the 90s. And what it was, they didn't have cell phones back then, but someone had like the, you know, little mini video cameras, and there was a video recording of a black man named Rodney King, and he was handcuffed on the ground, and there were pictures of white police officers beating him repeatedly as he's on the ground. And you saw this on the news every night, you saw this. And like, for sure, these cops, there was a trial, and they were caught, and they did a whole thing. And at the end, they were acquitted. The police officers were found to be... They didn't try anything, and then there was riots for 3 days. Like it was terrifying. There was like riots happening in L.A. In like, it was like 92, if I remember correctly, when they happened, the Rodney King riots. But they asked the defense team who acquitted the police officers, what was your strategy? They said, we kept showing that video over and over and over and over, hundreds of times in the trial. So the first time you see it, it bothers you, and the second time, and the third... 30, 40, 50, 60, over 100. This is my 181st time watching this video. Didn't bother them anymore, right? Mm-hmm. That's exactly what he's saying. Nase lo keheter. Things that we do, we know they're wrong. And we have. We know when we're doing things wrong. We don't like to admit it, but we know when we're wrong. That's only the first time. If a person does tshuva and they do it again, so that second time they did the vera, it's really only like the first time now because they did tshuva and that wiped away the first one. Mm-hmm. But that
makes it so much more complicated, right? If you're doing tshuva knowing that you've done something wrong, and you do the same thing again,
you start justifying it.
Right. But...
Or you're doing tshuva the same thing over and over and over again.
Most of us spend this... we're clapping for the same malchates every year on Yom Kippur, right? Things we're working on for more than just 1 year. But that's what he's saying over here. That this is... I just want to finish this last paragraph right here. But that's... You have such a distortion... You have such a distortion where evil can be called good and good can be called evil. What it kind of, it was a tweaking of the tzirufim, of the combination of Hashem's name in the Torah. Nimso comes out like this: Shafilu betoch haaveros. Even within the sin itself, melubasham chias Hashem yisborach. Hashem is enclosed in that. Dahainu osios haTorah. The letters of the Torah, right? That are divided up and they're arranged in a certain way from Hashem. Rak shu behelam, but now it's concealed. Dahainu she mechamas haveros, because the person did the sin. Hafach hatzirufim, it changed around the combination shel haTorah. Ad shenase meiser heter, until something that was not allowed became mutter, became due. Because this guy, as we mentioned earlier, avershan v'nasa l'keheta. When you repeat this over and over again, it becomes. You don't see anything wrong with it. Like I always do this. This is. Now, let me give you an example. We were talking about between Minchah Marah about having like, you know, Cheerios, right? You're having your cereal with milk. So, you imagine, what was it if someone comes to you and say, "Look, Daniel, you got to do tshuva. You had milk and cereal this morning." Uh-huh. Like, what? What's wrong? What's wrong with having a bowl? There's nothing wrong with having a bowl of cereal, right?
You say that, that's
for now. But the thing about it for a second, what if something that's so clearly, like, you don't think it's...
But then you find out that it's, the Cheerios were made on, like, in Busser Kalin.
No, just think for a second. Imagine you would have, like, a daily activity you do, and you really don't see anything wrong with it. Because there's nothing wrong with it, right? So you had Cheerios and milk. You would never think, when I have to make my list of things to clap all hate for on Yom Kippur, the fact I had Cheerios, right? It's not even the Havamina, right? So when you're telling somebody you have to do tshuva for something, what are you talking about? I didn't do anything wrong. Now instead of eating the Cheerios, and everyone understands there's nothing wrong with having milk and cereal. That's normal. But now the person's having cheeseburgers every morning. And they're eating cheeseburgers every single morning. They say, you got to do tshuva for that. What do you mean? You have milk and cereal. It's fine. I have cheeseburgers. Like, they don't realize that there's... Because Nasa Leheter. It seems in their mind they're not doing anything wrong.
Because they don't realize that a cheeseburger isn't kosher, whereas Cheerios is a pretty minuscule food.
Yeah, they don't realize. People could just their whole natural pattern. The whole natural pattern could be like someone just they speak Lashon Hara. Like, they call up their friends, and like, we have our morning conversation on the ride to work, and for 40 minutes, we just talk about the latest gossip, the latest thing, and every single day, they just talk Lashon Hara. And I don't think, what do you mean? I'm just having a conversation, I don't do anything wrong. I say, what do you say? So that's the first level. That's what he's explaining. Maybe we'll stop here, but he says, that's something, V'zeh b'chinas hastar achas. That's the thing where Kodesh Baruch Hu is hidden, and a person doesn't realize, they don't realize they did anything wrong because I've just been doing over and over again. And that's like the hardest thing, just to stop and to reevaluate and think, one second, I have to do a whole check over here and see what aspects of my life are not being done correctly. And for a person who's been living their life in a certain way and convinced of certain things, and they realize that it's painful. It's shocking, and there's like a psychological disconnect. You can't hear it. Fancy term, cognitive dissonance. You can't hear it. What do you mean? I mean, again, use the example of breakfast. I'm having normal, it's kosher, everything's healthy. I mean, I'm fine, right? If I'm eating chocolate cake every morning, I could probably understand why, you know, maybe that's not the best, the healthiest thing to eat for breakfast every morning. But if a person is just doing their normal routine, and there's obviously nothing wrong with it, so they know that's clear. But then when you're doing something that's so wrong and you don't even sense that, that's the first level. Maybe next week we'll get to the second part. I wasn't sure how far we're going to get because he connects it back to Purim also with Mordechai and Esther, but okay.
So you said the first level is they're doing something so wrong, but they're starting to realize it? Or they
Don't even realize.
It's like drinking tons of beer every day and they just think, oh, this is just what I do.
These are my warm-up beers. What do you mean?
What?
And those are my warm-up beers.
Yeah, right.
Can't accept reality without those.
All right. Skoich, everybody. Okay.